me now. Come with me now.
Welcome in to the latest edition of Board Check. That makes me Jeremy the Impact York. That makes this Blog Talk Radio. That makes me say thanks to Impact Media and viewers, listeners like you all who take time to listen to this show. This is the newest day for this. Like I said, this show is going to start be on Tuesdays. Time we don't necessarily have nailed down, but for all of you who subscribe on iTunes, we appreciate it. All of you who click the links on the various social medias, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, working on the YouTube. Instagram. We're also on Cyberdust for all you people in the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area. Trust me, we're not going to bury the lead. We're going to very much get into that in a second. Also, we're going to talk some Carolina Hurricanes. We're going to talk some Atlanta Gladiators, set you up for this weekend's matchups. Really, this week's games, because as we speak, Carolina's playing a game. Don't know any of the updates yet, waiting on those, but trust me, we're going to start nailing down the time for a lot of this. But like I said, I do not want to bury the lead. So, there's a team out there. This is probably not just the biggest story in the NHL. It's not just the biggest in hockey. Not just the it's probably the biggest in world sports right now. First of all, it was a little bit of a slow news day. Second of all, this is pretty big. I have spoken to a handful of people that I know that are fans of this illustrious team. I've heard bits and pieces there. Heard late feedback. I wanted to do my due diligence of researching this because I wanted to make sure I had as many facts as I could before I presented them to you all. I also wanted to let this breathe just a little bit. Everybody's initial reaction, a lot of people freaked out. Some people are still freaking out. I have a voicemail right now from a fan that still not quite sure how to react to it. He's not sure how to react to it. I know how to react to it. How I'm choosing to react to it. But, like I said, we'll talk some Hurricanes. We'll talk some Gladiators here in a few minutes. But, once again, not going to bury the lead. And this will probably take up a good chunk of time to where it's probably one of the only stories we're going to actually talk about. The Chicago Blackhawks have told Joe Quenneville, the illustrious Joe Quenneville, big legend, has the second most wins, I believe, in NHL history. They have told him, hit the bricks. Yep, they have relieved him of his head coaching duties. In the process, they have also told assistant coaches Kevin Dineen and Ulf Samuelson to follow suit. Complete coaching house cleaning would be the best way to put that. Talk a little bit about JQ. Quenneville, I hope is how you say his name, because like I've said before, I pretty much have only called him JQ or that coach. In 10 years, JQ brought 3 cups. 2010, 2013, 2015. Blackhawks fans know this. And let's be honest, the other 29 teams' fan bases know this as well, because the Blackhawks fan base have not let us forget it. Good accomplishment. Okay, that's fine. Celebrate them. Hey. We all know, and I speak from experience, if in the NHL, I mean, if the NFL, Cowboys fans can tell us how great those teams in the 90s were, then, hey, the Blackhawks have every right to tell us about what 2010, 2013, 2015 were all about. Because that was only 3 years ago. Since then, the Capitals won last year, and the Penguins won the two previous years before that. So, you know, not that been a lot of craziness going on. Ovechkin gets a cup. Mario and Sidney Crosby get a couple more. But to Chicago, like I said, three cups in 10 years. Not bad. Last season was the first time in a decade that they have not, that the Blackhawks have not made the playoffs. Had a pretty disappointing year. People like to bang on Corey Crawford. Well, they were missing him. He was injured most of last year, so you can bang on him all you want, but the guy's pretty consistently good. Top tier, could be, at times. I got him probably at second tier, without really getting into big debates and long lists. I got him second tier, but that second tier gets the job done. He's a good chunk of the reason why they have those three cups, on top of, you know, Taves and Seabrook and all those guys. Here's, once again, JQ. He's coached 797 games. He has a .627 winning percentage. And his three cups in six seasons from 2009 to 2015. They are, better yet, he was with them 10 years. He was with them 6 years. 10 years, because we're including. Either way, up until then, they had won three cups in the previous 82 seasons before that. The team is 6-6-3. They're the second worst team in their division, I believe. They have a -10 goal differential. And in their last five games, they're 0-4-1 as the Oilers, Canucks, Flames, and Blues. Let's be honest, the Oilers, not world beaters. The Canucks, not world beaters. The Flames, middle of the pack. And the Blues, who knows where the Blues are at. Yeah, those aren't the top teams who just completely hammered you. In fact, I believe the Blues won 7-3. 15 points in 15 games, fewest since 10-11. The season that followed the first cup. Apparently, JQ and management didn't necessarily get along very well, particularly general manager Stan Bowman. When they did make the playoffs, the years they didn't win the cup, they were typically out in the first round. He signed for a $6 million annual through next season. I believe they still owe that to him. A lot of people say he's going to easily land somewhere else. Okay, well, let's think about some of the places he could go, and then we'll come back to the Blackhawks, and then we'll go into who is taking over. Big parts of this. Some people say he can go wherever he wants. There are some places that obviously there are people already there that are probably not going anywhere. Let's just be honest here. Some teams, the St. Louis Blues, even though they seem to be doing okay, they just blew the Blackhawks out. You know, it is a place JQ's been before. And Mike Yeo is not doing that well. He's doing okay, but then once again, it's Buffalo. And I think a lot of their problem has to do with their owners. It is what it is. I'm probably making it to where those people probably never want to meet me, but have a better track record. There's always the Flyers. They could easily pay him pretty well. On top of, Flyers roster is not as bad as it used to be. They've got some young talent. It seems like they're more on the up than the down. There's the Panthers. If he just likes retiring to Florida weather. They are last in the Eastern Conference, so that kind of be a lateral move. You got to look at Dale Tallon, who was the GM who hired JQ in Chicago and helped build that team. He's down in Florida, so I mean, if he really wanted a genuine, almost start at the very beginning reboot, Florida might be in there. There's the Anaheim Ducks. Randy Carlyle is in his last potential season on this contract. And if John Gibson went standing on his head every night, I feel like Anaheim would be a lot worse. You got the Kings, who fired John Stevens on Monday. And Willie Desjardins is the interim coach. Don't know a whole lot about Willie. We do know that John Stevens was fired, and they have an interim coach. And it's L.A. It's the Kings. Kind of a rough place to play right now because everybody around them is pretty good. Earlier I said Buffalo. I meant St. Louis. St. Louis Blues, not as bad as the Buffalo Sabres. You got a second-year coach in Phil Housley. The Pegulas wanted Mike Babcock. He ended up going to the Leafs. Could they get Quenneville? Quenneville? Maybe, but no. Because this is what I meant a while ago when I said it behind the Blues. I meant by the Sabres. I'm not big on the Pegulas as owners. I don't like where the Bills are headed in football. I don't like where the Sabres are currently or where they could potentially go in the NHL. So, yeah, I would pretty much put that out because I don't think JQ would want to do that. A couple long-term options. You got the Red Wings. They got Jeff Blashill. Don't know how long into that could be. Got, let's see, what would the other one be? The Oilers, another team that just recently beat them. They got Todd McClellan. In fact, part of the reason why he's still around, a lot of people think, is because they went on a pretty decent point streak there for a minute and were able to climb back in the standings, including, well, beating Chicago. Like, all right. So let's go back to the Chicago aspect of this. All you people, not all you people, you guys are texting and I'm seeing them. On top of, I've gotten message calls, voicemails, everything all day long. Well, who are they going to get? Who's available out there? Well, I don't know that they're necessarily looking for anybody per se, because they have already named an interim. And I don't know if they were just clearing the deck for this guy. I don't know why you would clear the deck for a young guy when you have arguably one of the best in the league and the longest tenured up till this point. But they hired Jeremy Colleton, who is Colleton? Well, he is used to be the AHL Rockford Ice Hogs head coach, starting from 2017 till right now. He's coached the Blackhawks minor league affiliate up until now. Now he's the head coach of the Blackhawks. He's 33, so he's the youngest head coach in the NHL. Funny thing is, he was drafted by the Islanders in the same year that the Blackhawks took current defenseman Brett Seabrook. Yeah. It's interesting, right? instead of a 60-year-old coach, as good as Quenneville is, instead of a 60-year coach you're paying $6 million to, well, you're paying a 33-year-old guy like $600,000. He probably is going to get a little more than that for kind of getting bumped up a bonus. Maybe going younger can get with some of these younger players on the roster about 14, 15 players or so are under the age of 30 on the roster currently. Maybe they're trying to hit on a different level. There's some pretty good quotes on NHL.com from Colleton. But, you know, what's next for the Blackhawks? Well, hopefully Bowman can work well with Colleton and not let people like Nicholas Halmerson, Artemi Panarin, Teuvo Teravainen. Yeah, Carolina fans, we know all about that. Those were all guys because of money. They were run out of town or let out of town, and they've went other places to become stars. They're still in cap hell. They have a little over $61 million committed to 14 players. Six have no trade clauses, basically. It just leaves $18 million for nine other players. Part of why you see all those new guys on the roster, those young guys. But the question really is, can Jeremy Colleton put the Blackhawks in the same position they were back in 2009, 2010? When Taves, Kane, Duncan Keith, Seabrook, all those guys were in their heyday. I guess, you know, we will just have to wait and see. Definitely have to wait and see. That's all I know about it at the current moment. As I learn more, obviously you guys will hear more and more about that. But let's move into some Carolina Hurricanes news and updates. I want to start back their game versus Arizona over the weekend. That was a loss 4-3 in overtime, where Martinuk, Staal, and Svechnikov all had goals in that one, and Peter Mrazek had 21 saves. They also lost in Vegas. This road trip has not been amazing. But they also lost in Vegas to the Golden Knights 3-0. Got blanked. Kind of the Vegas hangover effect is what I'm calling it. I'm not saying the guys stayed out and partied or anything like that, because this would be the second time they got to it. Or the second year they've been out that way. I think this road trip is doing a number on. They'll be good to get them back home. Now, that being said, like I said, 3-0. Scott Darling was in that one. He made 22 saves. Upcoming schedule for our Hurricanes. Tonight, actually right now, game started at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They are in St. Louis to take on those Blues I just mentioned. Be nice to pick up a win there. 2 days from now, on Thursday, they will be in Chicago to take on Jeremy Colleton's Chicago Blackhawks. 8:30 p.m. puck drop on that one. This Saturday, they are finally back home. PNC Arena. This Saturday, they welcome in the Detroit Red Wings, 7 p.m. puck drop, and next Monday, they will welcome in the Chicago Blackhawks, same Chicago Blackhawks, 7 p.m. puck drop on that one as well. Let's just comment through real quick, see if there's anything else. I believe Curtis McElhaney is starting in net tonight, thanks to that update from the Web's Michael Smith. Mrazek is day-to-day with a lower body injury. It's kind of good that they're carrying three goaltenders right now, because they now have two that they can run with. I do know that GM Don Waddell is currently working on Sebastian Aho's contract extension. We know all about Sebastian Aho, but at the same time, people who don't know, this guy's going to be one of the next big breakout stars. He's pretty close to being there now. And Victor Rask is still rehabbing his injury. What a freak injury that was. I mean, he cut some tendons in his hand or something while he was in the kitchen cutting some food or something. I mean, it's bizarre. But all in all, the Hurricanes are on the up and up. They went through a little bit of a slide. But I'm not concerned with it. And you guys shouldn't be either. These Hurricanes are off to one of the better starts they've had in a while. I still like the youth. I still like the aggression. I really like this team and the way they're playing. Mrazek will be able to return. That's going to be fine because they're going to be able to carry three for a while. And I don't see a big issue here. The Checkers are doing well. And the Everblades are hanging in there right now, close to rebounding. Which leads me, of course, to the Atlanta Gladiators update. Now, on Friday night, they welcomed in the Norfolk Admirals, who promptly beat them 3-2 in overtime, where Dereski and Person had the two goals, and the returning Sabota had 43 saves in that one. They were able to pick up the victory on Sunday versus the same Admirals, 5-1, where Overhart and Iserman had a goal. Sabota had 32 saves, but more importantly, just a mere handful of days after his interview was on this very show, Brandon Truk gets his first hat trick. I told him congratulations, but congratulations again, Brandon. Isn't that crazy? We play his interview, even though this interview was from this summer. We play his interview here on the show, and he gets a hat trick that week. That being said, who wants to be on the show now? It's wide open. You guys know how to find us. We're going to try to get some other people on anyway, and not just people we want to get hat tricks. Just in general, I'd like to take some credit here, but at the same time, Peter Mrazek, get better. Brandon Truk, congratulations. Upcoming games for our Atlanta Gladiators. This Friday, they will be in Norfolk, 3:05. It's a weird time, but it said 3:05 on the schedule, so that's what I'm going to go with. 3:05 on Friday against those Admirals. Puck drop there. And 7 p.m. puck drop on Saturday against those same Norfolk Admirals in Norfolk. Yes, I'm pretty sure that's in Virginia. But that's going to do it for us. Another awesome, solid show. That's been Voracek, where we will subtitle this one, No Need to Panic. Something like that, I don't know. But as the song says, come go with me now. We're going to go watch some hockey. We're going to go to the games. But I'm Jeremy York. Thanks to Impact Media. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio. We will see you guys next week. Go Canes. Go Glads. Afraid to lose control and caught up in this world. I've wasted time, I've wasted breath. I think I've thought myself to death. I was born without this fear. Now only this seems clear. I need to move, I need to fight. I need to lose myself tonight. Whoa! Before I'm told, but a part of me knows that I'm growing too old. Confused what I thought was something I felt. Confused what I feel was something that's real. I tried to sell my soul last night. Funny, you wouldn't even take a bite.